baby boy, and a fine specimen he is, too. You should be proud of him, Hagith.
If only his father could have been here.
David is a mighty busy man these days. He's scarcely seated on the throne as king of Judah, and the house of Saul makes war against him. He just could not be here. He did, however, send a message. Said he hoped the child would be a boy. And he is. Maybe he will someday sit on the throne of Israel.
Perhaps. Who can say? This healthy boy is the fourth in line for the throne of David.
Fourth?
Yes. David's eldest son is Amnon, born of Ahinoam. The second is Kileab, born of Abigail. The third is Absalom, born of Maacah. This little fellow is the fourth. Still, in the course of events, this little man could become king. Who can say? I shall name him Adonijah. Adonijah, king of Israel.
Hello there.
We're glad you joined us for another story.
Right now, here's Uncle Dan with another Bible story.
This particular story is recorded in 1 Kings, chapter 1. I call it
The Fourth Son of David.
Now David had reached the age of 70 years. The hardships and exposures of his early wanderings, his many wars, the cares and afflictions of his later years had sapped the fountain of life.
Bathsheba. Bathsheba.
Yes, David, my dear.
I'm chilly, cold. Have the servants get some more heat in here.
Oh. But, dear, it's already very warm in here. Perhaps you're coming down with an illness.
No. I'm cold. Please, do something to help me get warm.
You are ill, David. I'll send for the court physicians. Lackey. Oh, I'd better get you to bed, David.
Bed? No, I'm not ill, I tell you. Just cold.
Yes, Your Majesty.
The king is ill, Lackey. Run quickly and call the court physician.
Immediately, Your Majesty.
Come, David. I'll help you get into bed.
I don't need help. I can...
Watch out now.
I guess you had better help me, Bathsheba.
It's only a few steps now, dear. There, now. Just lie back. There.
All right. That's better.
You just lie quietly while I remove your sandals. Mm. Don't try to exert yourself now, David. You're weak, ill.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Yes, I know. I'll cover you with blankets to get you warm.
Thank you, dear.
The lackey said the king is ill.
No, I'm not ill. Just cold.
Why wasn't I told of this sooner? I might have been able to prevent his illness, whatever it is.
Because I just got cold a few minutes ago.
Let me feel your feet. They're cold as ice. Your hands are cold, too. Your entire body is cold. You must do something about this at once.
Yes, please. Please get me warm.
Blankets. Where are some blankets to cover His Majesty?
Here they are.
Thank you, Your Majesty. And now I will...
David never again regained his health and vigor. Still another shadow was to gather over the last years of David. Rebellion was about to spring up in the very shadow of the throne. Though the king's mind retained its clearness and strength, feebleness and age prevented quick apprehension of what was passing in the kingdom.
Mother, at long last, I am going to be the king of Israel.
Is your father, David, dead?
Oh, no, but I shall be king anyway.
Oh, no, my son. You will never be king. I have never told you this, but the day you were born, I had dreams and hopes that someday you would be king. Yet even then I doubted it. For were there not three sons of the king older than you? You were fourth in line.
But I am now first in line. Amnon, Kileab, and Absalom are dead. I am now the crown prince, and soon I shall wear the crown of Israel on this beautiful head of mine.
As long as David lives, no one else will be king, only he. And it is already ordained of God and David and accepted by the people that when he dies, Solomon shall become king.
Ah, but that's where you're mistaken, my mother.
Solomon has been selected as David's successor, and you
know it. I don't mean that. I mean what you said about no one else being king as long as David lives. That's where you're mistaken.
You know very well that David will never permit you to take his place upon the throne.
He won't try to stop me. My father David has never once, not once during all my life, told me what to do or what not to do. He's never corrected me, nor his other sons either, except Solomon. He may be powerful on the throne, casting fear and respect in the nations round about and with the people of Israel. But here at home, he's a weakling with no influence at all.
Yes, that is true. But do you know why?
He's a weakling at heart, no backbone, that's why.
It's because of his great sin with Bathsheba. And because of that sin, he hesitated to correct his own sons, except for Solomon, for fear they will point a finger at him in ridicule.
Well, whatever the reason, it is still true that Father will permit me to do whatever I wish, as he's always done, even more so now that he's old and feeble and soon to die.
Do you have a plan as to how to seat yourself upon the throne? A definite plan?
A definite and carefully thought-out plan, Mother.
Absalom had a plan, too, and look what happened to him. So be careful, my son, lest you too end up in the grave instead of upon the throne.
I shall not make the mistakes Absalom did. I'm not going to rebel openly against my father the king. Neither am I going to start an insurrection. I am the crown prince, and King David is ill, about to die. My ascension to the throne will appear to be a normal succession of events, even though each step, each event, will have been carefully planned in advance.
Are you going to tell your own mother what those plans are?
Oh, my first plan, Mother, is to parade myself before the people of Israel. I want them to realize that they can be proud of me as their king. When the people have come to respect and look up to me, I shall... Greetings, Joab and Abiathar.
Greetings.
Salutations, Prince.
I'm indeed grateful to both of you for choosing to answer my summons.
The messenger said it was important.
And I must admit I am curious as to what this is all about.
Well, I shall waste no time in coming to the point. Gentlemen, over the years, both of you men have performed valuable service to King David in troublesome and difficult times. You've been very close to him. I'm sure that both of you who hold high offices in the kingdom are concerned over the fact that the king, in his mental and physical condition, is unable to give efficient rulership to the people. In the interests of all Israel, immediate steps must be taken to place a competent ruler upon the throne.
What does His Highness have in mind?
I have in mind only the well-being of our nation. Since I am the eldest living son of King David, I feel that it is my duty to take control of the government at the earliest opportunity, so that Israel will once again have the type of leadership she deserves. To bring this about, I need help. Joab, with your aid as Israel's commander-in-chief, I could count on the support of the army. And through you, Abiathar, the support of the priesthood would be certain.
And what gives you the idea that I might wish to desert David and support you?
The fact that you hold a grudge against my father, for the time he demoted you and appointed Amasit to succeed you. Your support in now proclaiming me king would assure your position as commander-in-chief of the army for the remainder of your life.
And why do you think I will, or even should, help you?
It cannot be denied that I am the legal heir to the throne, even though we are both aware that my father, King David, has suggested that perhaps Solomon should reign after him. Yet I'm certain that you cannot condone my father's treatment of Bathsheba and her former husband Uriah, and therefore must feel that perhaps the child of such a union should not sit upon the throne.
Are you going to start a rebellion against the king, as Absalom did?
Oh, not at all. I'm merely going to proclaim myself the rightful and legal heir to the throne, then be coronated and anointed king.
In that event, Your Highness, I shall lend you my support.
And so shall I, Your Majesty.
Good. Now, this is my plan. We shall hold a great feast at the Stone of Zoheleth and invite all...
And when Nathan the prophet heard these things, he came and spoke unto Bathsheba.
Greetings to Queen Bathsheba. May her highness live forever.
Greetings, your grace. You wish to see me?
If it please her highness.
People of importance usually seek audiences with my husband, the king, not me.
I come asking your help.
Well, I shall be glad to help in any manner I can.
Her highness is the only person of the entire royal household who has complete freedom to come and go as she wishes at any time she wishes. She can present herself to the king without previous permission.
You wish me to see the king for you?
Israel is in trouble, your majesty. The king himself is the only one who can prevent the trouble from turning into a terrible catastrophe.
And what is this trouble you speak of?
Well, at this very moment, Adonijah is going through the rituals of proclaiming himself king of Israel. Abiathar, the priest, is conducting the coronation ceremonies. Joab, with his army, is standing by to prevent trouble.
But Solomon is supposed to be the next king.
I know that, your majesty, and so do the people. King David told them. But Adonijah is the crown prince with a legal claim to the kingship. The people are now being told this and are accepting it as just and right that Adonijah be their king. Her majesty can surely see that now only David himself can prevent Adonijah from actually sitting on the throne of Israel.
But David is not well. He can do nothing. He's unable to.
But must we sit calmly by and watch Adonijah become our king?
With Joab and Abiathar on his side and David unable to take any action, I'm afraid I can see no alternative, even though it is a shock to me, as it will be to Solomon, my son.
Perhaps there is a way to stop Adonijah from becoming king, with your help.
You know that I'll do anything possible to keep Adonijah from cheating my son Solomon out of the kingship.
It will also save Solomon's life and yours.
Adonijah would kill us if he actually became king.
I have not the slightest doubt of it. Oh. He would remove all opposition to his rule. Certainly, Solomon and you would be considered his main opposition.
How can I help? I'll do anything, anything.
David doesn't know about Adonijah setting himself up as a king, does he?
Oh, no, I should say not. No one but Abishag, his nurse, the physicians, and myself are even permitted in his chamber.
Well, I want you to go to David and tell him what is happening. Then remind him that Solomon is God's choice, that he promised you and all Israel that Solomon would be king. And while you are still talking, I shall make my appearance and confirm your words. Surely then he shall know of a truth that Adonijah plots against him.
But even so, in his condition, what can David do about it? He can't get out of bed and oppose Adonijah. And you say that Joab and the army are on Adonijah's side. What is there that David can do?
Perhaps the urgency of the situation will arouse the king so that he can do something. Anyway, we must try. It is our only possible course of action.
Now Abishag the Shunammite was ministering to the king.
How is his majesty feeling this morning? Oh,
not very well.
Would his majesty care for more hot stones placed in his bed?
Oh, I don't want to see anyone. Send them away.
Yes, your majesty. Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Abishag. How is David feeling today?
Good morning, your majesty. Not so very well. He was just saying he did not wish to see...
Is that Bathsheba?
Yes, your majesty.
Have her come in.
Thank you, my lord.
Oh, Bathsheba, my dear, you need not do obeisance to me. I perceive you have a question. What do you wish?
And you, my sovereign, must feel better. There's a little color in your face, joy in your voice. Your eyes are brighter, too, David. And you seem more like
the... Oh, Bathsheba, you're looking at me through eyes of love. But I'm still having chills, and no one seems to be able to make me warm.
Perhaps I could do something to make you feel more comfortable.
Oh, everyone's been trying to help. The nurse, the physicians, everyone, but You didn't come here this time of day to nurse me. You want something. What?
Oh, my lord, did you not swear to me and to the Lord your God that our son Solomon would reign after you and sit upon your throne?
Of course I did, and he shall.
My lord, the king does not know it, but another son of yours, Adonijah, already sits upon the throne, reigning over Israel.
Adonijah sits on my throne as king?
He has already gone through the ceremonies connected with the coronation services.
No.
Right now, the coronation feast is taking place.
Who is back of him? Who of my court has deserted me and aids Adonijah?
Abiathar, the chief priest, and Joab, head of the army.
How dare Adonijah do this thing? He knows Solomon is to sit on my throne after me.
All Israel is watching you, my lord and king, to see what you are going to do about it. They look to you to tell them who shall sit on your throne. If you let Adonijah reign, then it shall come to pass when my husband and king shall sleep with his fathers, that Adonijah shall put Solomon and me to death.
No.
Begging pardon for this interruption, your majesty.
Yes.
But Nathan the prophet awaits outside for an audience.
Ah, show him in.
I am sure the prophet of God has important business with my husband. So with your permission, I shall withdraw.
Yes, permission granted, Bathsheba.
Long live the king.
Oh, my son, Adonijah, traitor. It's my fault. I failed him. I should have been more strict while he was young.
Nathan the prophet, your majesty.
Oh, yes, you may come in, Nathan.
Long live the king. I trust my king is feeling better.
No, right now, no. I've just heard bad news. What do you want?
My lord, O king, have you given your son, Adonijah, permission to sit upon thy throne as king of Israel?
I have not.
He claims himself to be king. He has already slain the oxen and cattle and made sacrifices. And now the people eat and drink before him, shouting and proclaiming, God save King Adonijah.
No.
But myself and Zadok the priest and Benaiah and Solomon, your son, were not invited. Have I not served you well for many years?
Oh, you have been faithful and helpful through these years, Nathan.
Then why has my lord the king not told me that Adonijah is to be your successor to the throne?
Send Bathsheba in.
The king wishes her majesty's presence.
Thank you, Abishag. My husband is kind to desire my presence.
I want you and Nathan to hear and understand this. Bathsheba, my beloved wife, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I did swear unto you, Bathsheba, that your son Solomon would reign after me and sit upon the throne in my stead, so shall it be this very day, now.
Let my lord King David live forever.
I want Zadok, the priest, you, Nathan, and Benaiah, the captain of my guards, here in my room as soon as you can get them here. Do as I say. Be gone, quickly.
Long live the king. Long live the king.
Oh, David, my love, you are wonderful. But are you strong enough to go through all this?
Of course I am. Do me good. I'm already gaining strength. Abishag, bring the royal robes. I'll put them on and sit up. My last act for Israel shall be done properly. Nathan, you are a prophet of God. Zadok, you are now the only chief priest in Israel. As prophet and priest, each of you has the official prerogatives to perform the ceremony of anointing Solomon as the next king of Israel.
But, your majesty, we cannot anoint Solomon now. Israel would have two kings.
No, Nathan. For right here and now, I abdicate in favor of my son Solomon.
Long live the king!
Gather together as many members of my court as you can, and take them with you to Gihon, where I want the coronation services for Solomon to take place. Have Solomon ride on my own mule to Gihon. When the people see Solomon on that mule, they will understand that he is king.
A wise move, your majesty.
When you get to Gihon, you and Zadok hurriedly anoint Solomon. Then blow the royal trumpet and say, God save King Solomon.
Solomon shall be king.
After the anointing, do not tarry, but hasten back here to Jerusalem. Seat Solomon on my throne and place the crown on his head, for he shall be king in my stead. I have chosen and appointed Solomon to be ruler over Israel and over Judah, and so shall it be.
May I say something, Your Majesty?
No. I am no longer king. I abdicated, remember? But go ahead and speak on.
What my Lord has done is good and right and just, and I'm sure the Lord God of Israel approves of your actions. And as the Lord has been with you, O king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David.
Yes, yes, a fine speech, Captain Benaiah. But there's no time for speeches, only action. Be gone, all of you, and place Solomon on the royal mule, and ride quickly to Gihon.
Did you hear that? Royal trumpets announcing the approach of royalty.
Royalty? Who? All the sons of David are at En Rogel at the coronation services and feast, making the crown prince Adonijah king. And David, he is in bed, about to die.
Well, anyway, it is someone of the royal family. Who? I don't know, but say, it must be King David himself.
It can't be. I heard just a few minutes ago that he is still ill, growing weaker and weaker all the time.
Well, just the same, I recognize that mule. It is the mule reserved only for King David himself, and no one else except the groom is even permitted to touch it.
It is the king's mule. But King David is not riding it. The rider is young, handsome, and... Say, isn't that Prince Solomon?
Yes, it is. Prince Solomon rides the royal mule.
But why? No one but David ever rides that mule.
Well, there can only be one answer. Prince Solomon is now King Solomon.
But I thought Prince Adonijah was being coronated and...
A fake! It is obvious that King David has chosen Solomon to succeed him on the throne. Else he would not be riding David's private and royal mule. Oh, that's good enough for me. Solomon is now king, king of Israel. Long live King Solomon!
Long live King Solomon! King Solomon!
The procession with Solomon riding the royal mule arrived at Gihon, and Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. Then the trumpeters blew on their trumpets. And all the people who had gathered called joyously, half a mile up the valley from this happy throng, another throng had just completed a ceremony and feast.
Oh, congratulations, Adonijah, Your Majesty. You are now king. King of Israel.
Thank you, Joab. You will, of course, remain as commander-in-chief of the Israelite forces. With you and your army behind me, my reign is bound to be successful. Israel will grow in power and renown. I will be the greatest king in all the world, in all history.
And may I, too, congratulate our new king.
Thank you, Priest Abiathar. You, too, will remain in your present position. Chief Priest of...
Begging Your Majesty's pardon, but I hear something. Listen.
Trumpets. For royalty. But from where and why?
Sounds like it's from Jerusalem.
Cheering now. A great many people cheering wildly. But why? For whom?
The city certainly is in an uproar.
Could it be that David has recovered, arisen from his bed and rides forth?
Impossible. He's too ill, too near death to recover so quickly.
Perhaps the people cheer because... No, they wouldn't cheer the death of King David.
Whatever it is, it doesn't sound good to me. It rings of disaster. It forebodes ruin. death?
Oh, no, it's probably nothing at all. So come, let us go to the royal tent and prepare to return to Jerusalem so that I may sit on the throne, put on the crown, and become in reality the king, king of Israel.
Your Majesty, my son Jonathan is here. He's just arrived from Jerusalem. He ran all the way to tell you the news.
Come on in, Jonathan, for thou art a valiant man to hasten all this way with good tidings.
Verily, Your Highness, our Lord King David is just...
So it is the king. Has he recovered? Or is he dead?
David has abdicated and has made Solomon king.
Solomon king.
He caused Solomon to ride the royal mule from Jerusalem to Gihon, where he was anointed king by Zadok.
He rode David's own private mule?
Yes, Your Highness.
Did many people see Solomon riding David's mule?
Practically the entire city of Jerusalem, sir.
David must be his old self again. Sharp of mind, quick to make decisions, and knowing instinctively the right decision.
And what do you mean by that, General?
All who saw Solomon on that mule will know that he has been chosen by David to sit upon the throne and rule Israel. What else happened, Jonathan?
After Solomon was anointed at Gihon, the entire procession returned to Jerusalem. The city rings with joy.
So, that's the noise we heard.
Solomon now sits upon the throne. The crown is upon his head and the scepter of authority in his hand. And the members of the king's court have all appeared before Solomon to bless him and wish him Godspeed.
Well, I guess that's the end.
The end?
If King David had mustered an army and fought, as he did with Absalom, I would have known what to do. We could have won. But David is much wiser now. He took the only course of action against which there is no defense. The people that accepted Solomon as their new king.
There is no chance for me.
None whatsoever, Your Highness.
Mother will be terribly disappointed. And so am I.
The way of the transgressor is hard.
Transgressor? I am the crown prince. I had every right, legal and moral, to make myself king.
His Highness knows very well that Solomon had been chosen by King David. By God himself as the next king. Your attempt to become king was nothing less than a revolt. And again I say, the way of the transgressor is hard.
Death.
I don't know.
Would Solomon dare put me to death, his half-brother?
As king, he dared do anything. But as long as David is alive, I doubt that your life is in danger. But me? Oh, I'm not sure. I may be condemned to an immediate death.
Well, I'm of the priesthood, one of the two chief priests. Surely Solomon, King Solomon, wouldn't have me executed.
Demotion from your high position, I imagine, will be your lot. And in the meantime, I shall hastily take myself hence, hide from the wrath of King Solomon. He is king, you know. Long live Solomon, the new king, king of Israel.
Long live
King Solomon.